instead, and Kin dived forward. She heard the power scythe crash down behind her and gyrate across the floor as she stared up into eyeless sockets. Struggling, she brought one knee up, a pointless tactic that merely jarred her kneecap. Death had no balls. A necklace of bony fingers closed around her throat. She lashed out with the back of her hand, willing the blow home. It hit Death in the face, and then there was something like an explosion in a domino factory. Kin was standing alone. There was a black robe on the floor in front of her, and a few pieces of bone scattered around. They disappeared in a series of small thunderclaps. A larger one marked the disappearance of Marco and Silver. Kin disappeared too. A minute later, a couple of cuboid robots trundled along the tunnel and started to clean up the mess. Now she was in a... "No," she said. "No more, I give in. Do you know how long it was since I last had a drink?" A glass of water appeared hovering in the air in front of her. Kin wasn't particularly surprised. She caught it gingerly and drank it. When she tried to hang the glass in the air, it plummeted down and smashed. Now she was in a... call it a control room. The disc control room. This had to be it. It was surprisingly small. It could have been the flight deck of a medium-large ship, except that a ship would have had more screens and switches. This one had one screen and one bank of switches, in front of a deep black chair. Over the chair was what could have been a computer-link helmet. "Oh, no," she said. "Not me. I'm not putting that on." The screen flickered and a word appeared.
"Bets."
Kin moved forward and got a better view of the chair. It was a disturbing, complicated shape and looked almost alive. Its occupant was dead. Not offensively dead, because the air in the room was crisp and dry and had expertly mummified him, but undeniably dead. If he had believed in reincarnation, he'd come back as a corpse. There was an old wound on one withered arm. It didn't look fatal, but there were antique bloodstains on the floor. He could have bled to death, but that seemed a derisive death for a disc master. If he was a disc master. Somehow Kin had never brought herself to think of the disc's overlords as human, but the man in the chair was human enough. Given a heavy shave and a fresh skin, he could have called anyone cousin. The screen in front of the chair blurred, then produced a word. It hung in front of Kin, glowing pitifully.
"Help."
Marco crouched in the semi-darkness when he next heard the voice. After a while, he surfaced from the mists of rage enough to realise that it was talking to him. It was familiar. The ape-descended woman?
"Kin Arad," he croaked.
"Marco, where's Silver?" the voice insisted. Marco's eyes felt like fire pits, but the light from the millions of red glows around him suited his vision. He saw a shape a few metres away, eclipsing a constellation on the floor.
"The bear thing is here. She is breathing."
"Marco," said the air, "I don't know how good I am at this thing. You'll have to help. Don't move." The air stirred in front of the Kung, and there was a knife. Three of Marco's hands caught it before it hit the ground. In the red light, he stared dully at the jewel-encrusted handle. "Don't waste time," said the ape voice. "I want you to cut a piece out of Silver. Don't be too enthusiastic. Hide will do, but the flesh would be better." Memories were dripping into Marco's mind. He looked at the knife, then thought about Silver.
"Not on your life," he said flatly.
"Do it. The next knife will arrive at speed if you don't, and you'd better believe me." With a roar of rage and frustration, Marco bounded forward and slashed at Silver's arm. The big body may have quivered slightly. "That'll do. The blood on the knife will do. Let go the knife, Marco. Let go of the knife. Let go of the knife." Marco was thirsty. He hadn't eaten in memory. His skin itched in the warm, dry air. He was damned if he'd let go of a weapon. If he thought about it at all, that was what he thought. "Okay, we'll do it the hard way." There was just something about the voice that made Marco loose his grip on the handle. Thus it was that when the knife popped out of existence, it merely stripped the flesh of his palm, instead of taking his hand off at the wrist. Methodically, he gripped his wrist to stop the blood flow and let the pain batter outside his brain. He was still staring at the wound when a rush of air and a thump made him look up. Something long and bloody was